like that bursts something, it's not good. It's fantasy. It can never be love. It's pain that's making you... If you were healthy here, you wouldn't even see it. But because you're hurt, you need, and now you see it, and this seems like Mr. or Mrs. Right. And next thing you know, you have Christian people with unresolved in their marriages getting their hearts attached to significant others. Why? It's needs-based, needs-driven, it's unfulfilled, and it's a sign that we don't know Jesus like we sing. It's not normal. It's a total lie. It can never be love. It's a Hollywood starry-eyed fantasy. And it brings more pain in the long run. My discouragement and frustration was birthing a desire called mission field. And here's what the Lord said. He said, the problem is, Dan, if I don't show you this and you go to the mission field, I honor my word and I love people. And you'll preach my word because you have my word, but your motive's wrong. You're only there because you're discouraged here. Now, who knows God calls people to the mission field? But who knows a lot of people start works because they're mad at their church, didn't fit in, tried to use another ministry as a platform to manifest, said they're controlling me and won't turn me loose. I'll start my own thing. Dangerous. So there's a lot of pain out there that's starting things. There's a lot of egos that have been slapped starting things. Now, I'm not saying that's you. You know if it's you when I'm talking. You know the why behind your life, friend. And when God exposed it, there was no hiding it. I bawled like a baby. And here's what he told me. He said that the paradox is, I'll be honor my word and I'll move and I'll flow and I'll do things because of their hunger and my word. And he said, but every time I move, you'll look over your shoulder at what you disdain and say, see? And you'll compare the move of God to them. And you'll say, see, God couldn't do that there because they're this and this and this. And next thing you know, your heart becomes harder and harder and harder. And now you have a resume on the mission field, souls won, miracles, and your heart's even more convinced and more hard towards what you left because you were mad. And now you've judged them through what I've done for you here. He said, and it would be at the cost of your own heart. Ain't that something? And I laid there and cried and I said, what would happen if you didn't father me? I'd get deceived and let some other motive drive me into what I think is you. You see how important it is to be the steward of your own heart, because out of your heart flows the issues of life? You can't afford to believe it's normal to just live hurt and offended and angry and frustrated. They're all lies. None of those things is what God made us to be. That's what we became when Adam ate that tree and lived separate from God. Do you understand that God made man in His image and God is love? Do you understand that? That God made man in His image. Now watch this. God made man in His image and in His own likeness. So God made man to love. When God made man to love, God made man like Him. So when man ate that tree and separated himself from the source of love, he got cut off from love and became in need of love. So a minute ago, he was love. Now he's in need of love. And it says in Romans 5 that every man was born into Adam. And we must be born again. Somehow we turned that into prayer to benefit us and take us to heaven instead of transform us. So what's a Christian? Getting grafted back in and being restored back to love. Not just the love of the Father, becoming the love of the Father. The goal of our instruction is love. It doesn't stop with Jesus loves you. Oh. It starts with Jesus loves you. The goal is you becoming the love of Jesus. Above all things, put on love. It's the bond of perfection. It says love fulfills the law and does no harm to the neighbor. Love's why we're on the planet. If you're not a Christian to become love, you're not a Christian for why He came. It's straight. It's narrow. Narrow is the way. Confined is the way. Broad is the way to destruction. So you got to settle, what are my beliefs producing? Where am I heading? And how have I been really doing? You got to make sure you're on that narrow path of why you're in Him and why He's in you. I say it all the time. Mercy woke you up today to give you one more day to be like Him. That's why you're alive to love. You're alive to be found in His image. And if we let any other image decide who we are, we'll be deceived. He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. We say He's the way to heaven, and He said He's the way to the Father. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. So He's an invite back to the Father, so everything the Father is can be alive and prevalent in you. So you can walk in the light as He's in the light. Guys, it's called born again. It's not a passport to heaven. It's not a reservation. It's a new life. It's a new way. It's a new mindset. It's a new reason for being. And if you'll really listen tonight and allow these things to begin to convict and touch your heart and where you actually actively act on them, it changes everything about your life, your marriage, your relationships, your friends. I promise you, don't get judged by this and don't elbow each other. It'll take the animosity out of your home. I'm not the brightest man on the planet, but I've learned a few things. It takes two to tango. It takes one to make peace. And you're just not going to pull me into that dance. I don't know how to dance anyway. You're not going to pull me into the tango. I have no rhythm. They say white man can't jump. Well, this white man can't do either, dance or jump. Actually, I can jump okay. I can't dance. You're not going to bring me into that. There's nothing my wife can do to make me tango. I'm just telling you, you don't have to believe me. I don't wake up for her to love me. And I don't wake up for her to treat me right. So she can't let me down. I wake up to be like Him. And if you'll teach yourself through prayer to wake up to be like Him, it changes everything. Do I have any other pastors or leaders or people that do counseling or have people come to them as a leader? Yeah? Anybody else? Got a handful? Okay. Who would agree with me that a lot of the counsel people have, it's people issues and what people said, how they feel, and what people did, and it's not fair, and it's people stuff. And it proves that we don't understand why He came. And somehow we think He came for my benefit instead of my change. See, nobody has to treat you right for you to be right. In God, like okay in expression. I don't mean right and rightness. Nobody has to treat you right for you to live right in God. Because He already treated you right. Like my disposition's not contingent on your expression. Like I didn't wake up for you to do me right today. So I'm probably not going to focus on the fact that you did me wrong. Because what's that mean? Squeeze an orange, orange juice. Squeeze a Christian, Christ. Well, that should be just simple. That's just simple 101 Christian. So what did we accomplish tonight? Well, through this teaching, hopefully we were trained by a lie. And the way we grew up being and thinking and feeling has nothing to do with Him. So now that He came, we ought to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And don't bring an alibi into our new life and say, yeah, but you don't know. And talk the language that we talked before you came. If you bring the language that you talked before Christ was in you into your new life, you'll taint the expression of your new life. If you think for a second you become a victim and somebody's a villain, you're out of bounds. You're not in the gospel. Because if that's true, we're villains and God is the biggest victim on the planet and He needs ministry. Yeah? Just be real. So I'm calling you this tonight and I'm saying, guys, we can live this. All these scriptures wouldn't call us to it if He wasn't ready to back it with His power. With His nature and with His love. I want to look at one scripture in the Bible. Somebody will say, you know, well, we'll make the meeting legal. At least he read out of his Bible. People say that stuff sometimes. It's funny. If you listen, I quote about half of it. Most of it, I tell you where it's even at. But regardless. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, if you have a Bible. If you don't, you can just listen along. I don't know if these guys are prepared and I'll slap it up there for you, but when they first started doing that years ago, it was funny. I'm pretty naive and I'm not a technical guy. So I was up on this platform preaching and everybody's looking, and all of a sudden they're all looking above me while I'm walking and talking. And they're all looking. I could tell they were, nobody was looking at me. They were looking right above me. And I thought, this guy had said in the service, he said, the whole time you were talking, there was this bright blue angel. And he was like going on. I'm like, really? Wow, okay, cool. And I didn't think much of it. I was like, that's great. You saw that. I expect that stuff. I believe there's a spirit of revelation. So it wasn't that I was minimizing, but I didn't make a big fuss. I was like, cool. So when they were doing that, I thought, that angel must be up there again. Everybody sees it. They're all looking. Like I'd walk and they're all looking up here. I turned, I thought, and it's the screen. They were reading the scriptures. And I'm like, bummer. I thought it was the angel. They were just following along. I said, oh, well. Who knows? He might have been there anyway, huh? 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. I like this. To those who, and we'll probably cover some of this weekend. This is a favorite topic of mine. It changed my life, this righteousness thing. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Where did our faith get obtained by? The way God sees us. The righteous judgment of God through Jesus. What He accomplished through Jesus to make you stand forgiven, complete, blameless, and above reproach. Holy and blameless above reproach. We see the way God sees us. He sees us for what He created us for, not where we've been. He sees us for what we're called to, not what we've done. And His love has the ability to separate you from the past, to give you the present and things to come. To say, you're so much more than what you've been. You're so much more than what you've believed. On your darkest day, He says, I know who I created you to be, and I know what's possible, and I paid a price to place you there. Faith springs out of the righteous understanding of the righteousness of God in Christ. He rules His kingdom with the scepter of what? Righteousness. So He dubs you righteous and knights you righteous and says, stand right in My sight. And you say, yeah, but Lord, you don't know what? I know what you... Oh, I'm off my carpet. You know what you've done. Sorry, I was like, it's good they didn't hook up the shock collar, man. I'd have been done. Whew. Yeah. That would have gotten me. I was way out of bounds, man. See, I was jogging in Alabama. This is a good practical example of love. I'm jogging in Alabama. I'm just running down a side road. And I went about 2.5 miles. I had 2.5 more miles to go. And I was going to go up to a spot that I marked with the rental car. And then I was going to come back to the hotel. So it would have been 5 miles. So I had about another 1/2 mile that way. And then I'm coming the whole way back. So I would just do that because I'm in strange areas. So I would just try to get on a road that took me 2.5 miles straight because you can't get lost, turn around, come back. So I'm running and this pit bull comes off the porch. He's a pit bull and he's and he's coming to the curb. And I'm saying, hey, buddy. I said, now you chill out. And I'm running along there and I'm thinking he's a shock collar dog. I'm thinking he's going to get right about that far from the curb. And that's where they had those little stakes. And that's where his line is. And he knows right where to stop, right? So you're just cruising along there. And he's... And I'm like, hey, buddy. And he's off the curb in a millisecond, has me by the back and side of the leg. And the two front canines go down in me so deep. And when he lets go, it looks like I'm bleeding to death. I got blood already in the road. You know how big their canines are, a pit bull's canines? I looked and they were sticking in me. It looked like a magnum vampire got me, man. And this lady come running out because she heard him barking. He's not supposed to be out. He's always trapped in the basement. She has no idea how he got out. But somehow he got out. And man, he got on my leg. People say, when I see you walk in covenant and righteousness and God, and how come and why and who and I... Listen, the dog bit me. Be like Jesus.
Well, I never saw scripture where Jesus got bit by a dog.
Walk in love. Don't think for yourself. And watch God intervene. Don't make it about you. Make it about him and them. And find wisdom and grace. So you look down, there's so much blood, your whole sock's red. I'm not kidding you. I never saw so much blood pour out of a human body. It was just, that thing went right into that main, whatever you got running back there. And it went right in it, and it was pouring out. And the lady goes, ah! She saw my legs. He bit you. I big smile. He did. He really bit me. And I said, but it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. I'll explain in a minute. Why don't you grab me a towel? Could you get him in the house and get me a towel? And I start heading to the porch. And the husband comes out and he sees me and goes, well, he can't even talk. He don't know what to do. I promise you, he's thinking liabilities. My dog's getting killed today, euthanized. We got serious problems. We're paying out monies we don't have. This is not a good day. And I smiled and I said, hey, buddy, everything's going to be fine. I already told your wife that. You'll understand in a minute. It's all good. It's all good. And she comes out with a towel. I'm bleeding profuse. It's pouring out of me. You have no idea. The whole side of my running shoe, you could touch it and blood's just in it, soaked in it. And I'm standing there and I said, listen, the reason it's going to be good is Jesus. I said, he's my king. He's my everything. He's not my theology, the doctrine I live. He's my reality. We're in relationship. He's my king. He loves me a whole lot. And I'm just talking to him about Jesus and what I know and have in him, right? So I throw my leg up on the side of their porch and I said, thanks for that towel, ma'am. And I'm just smiling. I'm nice. They're not my enemies. Their dog got out. Boo-boo. Shouldn't have happened, right? Shouldn't have done it, right? But he's out. He bit me. I get it. So why don't we find mercy, grow in wisdom, and move forward? Instead of, I can't believe your dog bit me and you caused me all kind of, and wonder if my leg gets infected and you're going to pay and you should have known, and why do you have a dog like that anyway? See, we talked about that in a minute, but not from the tone most people do. I think some people nowadays are wishing to get bit. Because they got so many rights. There's people out there advertising, if this ever happens to you, call. I'd rather you call on his name, not their name. So I wiped this towel over my leg. And as soon as I took it over, I was talking to him about the love of God and Jesus. And I told him I'm not mad at him. You got to understand, I'm not mad at you guys. Listen, I said, but we've got to talk about something. I wiped up over my leg, and when I wiped up over, no more blood came out. First rub with the towel, wipe the blood up. There's no way that can happen. Them holes look like you took a heavy-duty nail punch and just shot them in the side of my leg. Them holes were as big around as my pinky in the side of my leg. And I wiped up over, and no more blood came out of them holes. And I laughed, and I said, see? I said, that's my Jesus right there. I said, that's my Jesus. And they're like, and they still think they're in trouble, even though I'm nice. They're thinking there has to be a catch to this. This guy is going to grow horns in a second or something. And I said, listen, I said, man, he's taught me a lot over the years. And talked about not being mad at him. And listen, you guys made him. And she said, but we don't even know how he got out. He's never out. He's not. I said, I get that. But honey, the truth is he was out. Here's what you learned today. If you're going to keep a dog with that kind of potential, then you have to make the highest stewardship effort and make sure this never happens again. He can't be out. And if you can't make that happen, then you shouldn't keep the dog. Because I said, wonder if he bit a child, an elderly person coming up your street, or somebody that didn't have the heart that I have. I said, this is a pretty tough day then, isn't it? And they're like, I said, yeah. I said, but praise God, he bit me. I said, so this is mercy for you today. I said, because you're never going to hear about this again. You'll never probably see me again. And it ends right here. And I'm just telling you, you take the mercy God gave you and you make sure your dog never does this again to another human being. You grow wise through this situation. And if you don't know Jesus, please get to know him. He's amazing. He's the one that loves you. And I grabbed him and I hugged him, told him I wasn't mad. And she said, but but don't we need to take you somewhere? Like, shouldn't we, like, take you to the hospital? I said, honey, I got 2.5, almost 3 miles to run. I got a half mile to go and 2.5 back to the hotel. I got to get my run in. I'm supposed to go do a radio thing, and then I'm preaching to a bunch of pastors. So I said, I need to go. And she said, okay. I said, love you guys. Took off. I get back to the hotel. The little girl who I prayed for on the way out and got a little word for, she cried. I said, hey. I said, prayed for. A little power and love thing, right? It's just who Jesus is, right? It's not power and love. It's who Jesus is. So it wasn't ministry. It's just loving a girl, seeing in God. So she got really touched. And I took off running. When I come back, she said, well, how was your run? And I said, it was awesome. And she goes, is that blood? Your sock and shoe? Why is your shoe all red? Because my running shoe's white color. My other one's red. So it just stood out like a sore thumb. I got 2 different colored shoes. She said, is that blood? And there was this little trickle coming out of the hole, just a tiny little line right here. And she saw it and she said, what happened to you? I said, a dog bit me. I said, it's all good. I said, it was a big old pit bull. I thought he had a shock collar, but he didn't have a shock collar. He's a little mad I was that close to his yard. It was just a territorial thing. He chomped me and went back to the porch, waddling his little behinds, waddling. I'm like, he's like, take that. And I'm like, whoa. So isn't it amazing? She said, well, you got to go to the hospital. Now, I'm not telling you not to. So don't read into this and don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not telling you not to, and I'm not going to weigh you unspiritual. I don't need to. I know where I'm at, and I walked with God for 22 years. So please leave me alone. Don't write me letters. I won't even read them. In fact, I live a way that I never preach because people will try to do what I do instead of see what I see. People that respect me will try to do what I do, and then they won't get those results, and they'll turn it into works instead of relationship. So I don't even preach how I live because I don't want to go through all the letters and everybody trying to set me straight and use wisdom. I think I'm doing okay. The first story she told me was her mom getting bit by a dog and how she didn't get treated and it infected and blew up and she felt like a heart beating in it for 3 days and wanted to amputate that piece of her body. And I said, honey, stop. This precious black man comes around the corner. He's the maintenance guy in the hotel. He says, he's a Southern Alabama boy. He says, man, you got bit by a dog? I said, yeah. He said, man, you better listen to that girl. I mean, he was the funnest guy. He said, you need to listen because I got bit by a dog. I said, 2 people. I mean, 2 people. And they both had dog bite stories. He said, no, she's right. I got bit, didn't get treated, da, 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 da. And it hurt so bad. I said, what are you guys trying to tell me? I said, listen, remember when I prayed with you before I left and how you cried and did it and what else? I'm going to be fine. Listen. He said, well, where was that dog? Who's them people? What did you do about it? Did you report that dog? I said, well, this is what I did. When I told him he's the most funniest guy, he says, you did that? I said, yeah. He said, you for real, man. You for real. And I said, you know, I said, I appreciate what you're saying, but that always has bothered me. I said, everybody says that to me. You know what I like about you? You're for real. And I say, what else is there? I guess hypocrite, half in, half out, not real. It's not a good day when there's a testimony, I like you because you're real. Are you? Is everybody? Come on, it shouldn't be an enigma. It should be us. Help me, Jesus. Like, I don't want heaven to remember me for this testimony. He was real. We're all supposed to be real. What are we so tainted that it's real is amazing? Real is us. Okay, enough of that. I'm going to freak out. He said, you for real? And I said, yeah. Yeah. He hugged me. We talked. He hugged me. I liked him. Went and did my radio show. I go up and they said, Well, the guy you're waiting on, he's running a little late. He got bit by a dog. He got bit by a dog. Is he okay? Oh, he's okay. He's like, loved the people, hugged them. He's just, and they told the story to him. So we said, you got to tell that on the radio program. So then I told the whole story on the radio program. He said, he called me. He said, I keep getting requests to replay that, because it's just challenging so many people's perspective. So then I go to the church. Interesting day. I go to the church. I preach to all these pastors and I'm done. It was the last night. Wow, we're done. I sit down. They're crying. I just lined a whole bunch up and spoke over some significant leaders that I felt called to. And God was moving. It was just a fun, fun night. There was major leaders standing there shaking and crying and moved on by conviction. And I sit down, and when I sit down, guy sits here. I'm like, and I knew it. There was no security guys around me the whole time, and I thought, this looks strange. This looks like obvious. Something's up here. Who are these men? Guy leans over, hey Dan, I'm Officer So-and-so. I said, yeah, I thought something was up. He said, these three guys are with me. We're all four officers. Police officers. I said, okay, what's up? Well, we're here to make sure you're out of here safe and you're okay and everything works out fine. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, there's been some threats against you. There's some people that don't like what you say, what you're saying, apparently, and we got reason to believe that, well, I'll just be honest, there's threats and it's concerning the well-being of your life. And I went, are you serious? Very serious. That's why we're here. We're going to make sure you get to the hotel. We're going to make sure you get out of town safe. It's our responsibility, et cetera, et cetera. I said, oh, man. I said, listen, I appreciate you and honor you. I can find you in the book of Romans, friend. There's a place for you in society. But it ain't here right now. I said, this is spiritual. It's called intimidation. You got to face intimidation or you'll run from it the rest of your life. I'm just telling you, sir, you can't shadow me. You can't protect me. I don't want you around me. I want you to defuse this. He said, I strongly disagree. In all due respect, I'm not asking you to agree. I'm asking you to listen to what I'm asking you to do. I said, here's the deal. I'm going to lay it straight. If they say they're going to kill me, we got to play it out. Let's see if they can. I don't think they can. My job is to love not my own life unto death. He's my rock and defense. When you defend yourself, he's not. When you face intimidation and crush it and upstage it, you won't ever run from it. And it won't follow you around. About the time I lead them policemen to walk me out of there for my well-being and safety and protect me because I have a family and all the stuff we say, the sentimental stuff, then the next church I go to preach at, they're going to blow up the Sunday school if I preach. Bomb threat. Where's it end? So I'm glad they handled it the way they came right at me. We're going to kill him.
I personally don't think you can. I'm never going to die.
So it's really not a heavy threat. And you preach like this and it sounds rah-rah in the pulpit. But when you have the policeman sitting there telling you that that's the deal, then you find out what you believe. And I can tell you, I was very calm and it wasn't a threat because I'm not going to die. So I understand something about that. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you I did it. And don't write me letters to change my mind. You're too late. So they diffused it. And I hung out and talked and did what I do every time. And I was one of the last ones to leave the parking lot. And I drove to that little hotel and took my car and never looked over my shoulder. And I'm here today and everything worked out fine. Yeah? You say, well, Dan, you should have used wisdom. Whose? Your fear of my well-being or my understanding? I'm just saying, I'm not being mean. It's a different wisdom. And it's a choice I made in faith, and God backs that stuff. And you wouldn't have been marked unspiritual by me if you'd have left them protect you, them cops. I'm just saying, I know how it works, and I'd have to live it out. And I'm just going to stop it right now. We're just going to stop it now. Yeah? So that was all just one day. Bit by the dog, got to love the people, got told about two dog bites and I better get some help. Then they want to kill me. I'm thinking, I'm not really that bad of a guy. Dogs are biting me. People are threatening me. I'm like, gee. And I ain't even picking a fight. But I'm not afraid of one. because you love not your own life unto death. I don't think I've ever picked a fight, but I'm not afraid of one. If you squeeze me, I promise you, you're going to get Jesus. If you treat me unjust, I'm going to weep for you in my bedroom when nobody's looking. And I'm not going to be mad at you. I don't know how to be. I'm going to cry for you because if you really knew Him, you wouldn't treat me that way. And my heart's going to hurt for you. And Holy Spirit's going to hear my prayer and come and get you. I'm just telling you. I'm the wrong person to mess with if you don't want change. Especially don't do me wrong, because I'll do you right. I'm just telling you, I will bless you. I will pray and prophesy over you in my bedroom. And mean it. Not a warfare thing. Mean it. Why does a spouse cheat on a spouse? And the spouse that was cheated on becomes broken, trusted, brokenhearted, and cheated on. Rarely do I see that spouse break and cry for the spouse that cheated and realize the spouse is in grave trouble and deceived. Usually they get hurt and broken by their actions and say, I can't go on and I'll never be able to trust again, and they broke my heart forever. And we all seem to understand that language. And when you talk a different language, like walking in love and hurting for the other person, we kind of go, what? And we kind of give ourselves away. Yeah? Come on. Why is it such a strange thought to cry for people when they really do wrong things towards you? Isn't that what Jesus did with His life? Are we supposed to sing to Him and pray to Him when we're needy, or are we supposed to follow Him? Watch this. It just takes me a while to get to where I'm going. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Now watch this. This is where I'm heading. By which we've been given exceedingly great and precious promises. Watch. He's not talking about full vats and barns. He's not talking about needs met. He's talking about the grace available to change our lives if we're willing. Watch. You have great and precious promises that through these promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, which is what? What's the divine nature of God? Having escaped the corruption, look what the born again experience does. God gives you promises that'll transform you if you're willing and believe and live in faith, and it'll save you and snare and snatch you out of darkness into the light. It'll deliver you from what? Watch. From the corruption that's in the world through lust. Has nothing to do with pornography. It has nothing to do with a woman. That word lust means self-centered, unsatisfiable desire. His gospel has come and given me all things that pertain to life and godliness, and He's backed it with exceedingly great and precious promises that assure I'll have everything necessary on His end if I'm willing to be changed into His nature and become everything that He is in me and be snatched out of the corruption that's all around me by men seeking their own. That's what that scripture says. So born again is escaping the corruption of men living for themselves. So the biggest lie on the planet isn't the workings of the devil. It's men living for themselves when they're created for God's image. The devil just works with what you give him. Jesus said, the ruler of this world cometh and has nothing in thee. We can follow that. It says, he who keeps himself, the evil one touches him not. Yay? Look, I know I talked a long, long, long time. I flew a long way to talk a long time. I did. I didn't think about that till just now. I thought, you know what? I sat on that plane for 5 hours to preach to you. So I might as well preach for five. No. I don't know if this will help you, but I'm on Eastern time. So it's 4 minutes till 12. To me. Can you tell? It's 4 minutes to nine to you.
You got 3 hours to catch me. And when you do, I'll be 3 hours ahead again.
So you can't catch me. So you ought to just be okay, because it's really late to me right now. Do you know what time I got up to go to the airport? 4 a.m. That's one your time. So that's like you getting up at 1 a.m. standing here right now with no really nap. It's Jesus in me. It's His fault. So you just think with me. So don't say, boy, he preached long. No, this is important. This is serious. I fly like I fly and do what I do because I think it matters. I think it'll make a difference. I actually believe what I preach. Do you understand that I'm not mandated to be here and don't need to be here? I'd like to tell you this. Chris, I'd like to tell you that Jesus appeared in my bedroom and said, go to them. Spoke your name, vision of the building. Yes, Lord. It just didn't happen that way. He emailed me. I met him in Orange County. I remembered him. Joey sent me, one of you guys sent me a picture. And I was like, all them guys are cool. They're hungry and it's a bunch of young folks. And then I just ended up calling. We just did it, right? I go to 6% of my invites. This year, it's probably way less than that because my invites are off the hook. It doesn't even make sense. There's so much hunger out there. It's exciting. But here's my point. I'm not here because I have to be. Nobody mandated me to come. Jesus didn't tell me I needed to come here. He didn't even say you need to travel. I'm preaching all over YouTube. I could probably sit in my yard and sip iced tea and watch my garden grow. I'm preaching all over the world. We go into Denny's to eat today and the lady said, I know you. What's your name? Dan. Last name, Moeller. Dan Moeller. And I'm like, she said, I watch you on YouTube. Then this other girl comes out. Dan Moeller. What? Just stay home. I'm already preaching. I'm here because I want to be. I believe what I'm telling you. And I want you to catch this. I'm not saying this to hype. I believe your lives are worth this or he wouldn't have shed his blood. I wouldn't fly here if I didn't think you could live this way. I certainly didn't fly here to impress you with my preaching. I don't even preach. I just kind of, yeah? I'm just, yeah, I actually felt like tonight was pretty intense. I was like, I didn't slap nobody. Just having fun. Yeah, I don't know, brother. You're pretty close. The passion. Do you see passion in me? I believe it. He paid his blood for this thing. He gave his life so we can understand and go, whoa, and look to him and he be lifted up and draw all men to him. He wants us to get it, to understand, not be benefited, but really understand and be changed. Yeah, it's not just blessing. It's not you getting a better job. I hope you do. I really do. But if you don't, do you shine? If they don't treat you right, do you still love? If your prayer didn't get answered, do you still pray? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about relationship and covenant. Not genie in a bottle, busboy, a table waiter. I'm talking Father. You have every reason to be excited, ecstatic, and encouraged. Christ came and was crucified and rose from the dead and wants to put His life in you, His ways in you, His person in you. You have every reason to be thankful and pumped. I'm serious. Listen, my wife went into crisis for 6 years in her identity. She wouldn't even come to church and I was a pastor. She believed people called her because she was so messed up. And I lived for 6 years as if I was married and almost single and had no real access to the heart of my wife because of the delusion and lies. I know people that won't live 6 days that way without falling apart. I know people that would never go 6 weeks without giving up and maybe looking for someone else. I lived that way for 6 years and didn't even know how to be touched by it because I don't wake up for her to love me. I wake up to be like Him. And in that, I realize she needs Jesus more than ever in her life. In that 6-year season, she's in trouble. She needs Jesus more than any time I've known her. And He happens to live in me, friend. So now's not the time to be a frustrated husband that goes to church. Now's time to be like Him. You know what happened? The goodness of God snapped that lie and changed her. My wife is awesome. My wife's the best. She is. She's sensitive. She's loving. She's discerning. She's a servant deluxe. And you would want her praying for you. She's amazing. But I'll tell you what, for 6 years, she was in deep trouble and chaos and turmoil because of a lie. Believing that everybody loved me and she was just my wife. And they said hi to her because she was with me. That's a good way to zap your identity. Don't find your identity through your husband. Don't find your identity through your wife. Find it through Jesus and Him crucified. You're not trying to be like Him or her. You're being like Him. Brandon, I need your help real quick. It's on purpose. Because we're even a different shade, man. You can see that, right? This is my buddy. He's from Kentucky. He came with me. All right? Now watch this. This is Brandon, yeah. And I'm Dan. Watch. Yeah, he's a man of God. Watch this. And I'm Dan. He's Brandon. Now, I just told you that. Now, tomorrow or later tonight, you're going to say, now, are you Dan? Do we look anything alike? Are you going to mix us up and think he's Dan and I'm Brandon and say, man, they're just so close, I can't tell. But watch this. He's Brandon. He looks like Brandon. I'm Dan. I look like Dan. You'll never mix that up. But we can both look like Him. And that's the power of the gospel. He's Brandon in Him. Him and Brandon. Yeah? And we can both look just like Him. That's the power of the gospel. You get it? Okay. Okay. So live this thing, guys. You say, how? Relationship. When you get home, get alone. Even if you're married, you guys tuck in, whatever that means. Before you fall asleep, you talk to the Lord tonight. You get personal. You're in the bathroom and it's just you alone. God, I give my life to You even more at a different level maybe. I just surrender in everything I am to You. Keep teaching me, Holy Spirit, what it means to be selfless without getting legalistic and never just thinking for myself, but thinking for Your great name and others. I want to be like You. And don't weigh yourself for where you're not. Enjoy becoming. You're not running the risk of failing. You're enjoying becoming. So even if you make a mistake or get into a bad attitude, when you catch it, rejoice and go, wow, truth's changing my life. There was a time before this truth, I would have stayed there and thought I had a right to be there. Now I know it's not You. Let's just keep growing. Let's not let the ball drop on this thing. Let's be the steward of your own heart, your own faith, your own life. Don't steward other people. Steward yourself. And you become like Jesus. You say, well, but my spouse doesn't. We're not talking about your spouse. We're talking about you in Christ. Do you think you're going to stand before Jesus and look into His amazing eyes of liquid love and fire and whatever it's going to be like and go, because it's the essence, it's light. There's no deception in Him. When you stand before Him, them little foxes are all out in the light. Do you think you're going to be able to go,
I would have believed in You more if it wasn't for my spouse. I'd have served You better. I'd have done better. Why didn't You answer my prayer? Why didn't You get me out of that miserable job?
Do you think you're going to be able to even think that then? It's going to be so foolish. So let it be foolish now. Don't let it work now. If it's not going to work then, don't let it work now. Yeah. So live this thing. I'm going to pray over you guys. I'm not a real altar call guy on this stuff. Listen, your altar's your heart before God. You're the one that has to live with your own conscience. Honestly, I've seen a lot of altar calls. I only do it if the Lord really tells me to, the altar call thing. I've seen it just a lot of emotion and people. And there's a place for you to just get real and meet with God in your heart. There's a place for you to get alone in your bed, get alone in the bathroom. You know what, God? You never made me for me. James says, the book of James says that If there's selfishness in your life, if there's self-seeking in your heart, don't boast and lie against the truth. Deal with it, address it, and call it what it is, and let the gospel get it out of there. In other words, zero permission for self-centeredness. Zero. James 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them prove by the good conduct of their life that their works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, don't boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom never came from above. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. Where there's envy and self-seeking, there's every evil work present. So here we are rebuking the devil and inviting him through our motivation. We're chanting, rebuking, I bind you, devil, when your whole motive is you're selfish and frustrated and mad at your spouse. God, cut him down. God, cut her down. Knock them off their high horse. Devil, you loose him, I bind you. And the whole time you're praying for yourself because you know if God changes them, your day will go better. And you're not praying because you love them. You're praying because you're mad at them and you can't take anymore. And how much am I supposed to take, God? Why don't you break them? And the whole time you're rebuking, you're inviting. And if God answers your prayer, He's going to teach you to stay that way. That's why those prayers don't get answered. I'd never see those prayers answered. You don't pray for yourself. Pray for His name and for others. You don't say, I can't take it anymore. If Jesus said that, He'd have jumped ship. He'd have never went to the cross and you wouldn't have His spirit. Come on, if Jesus said that one time, yeah, but I can't take anymore. If God said that about you for one day, you're hopeless. If God just looked at your life and said, I can't take anymore. If Jesus just elbowed the Father, didn't I shed my blood for them? Didn't Holy Spirit convict them like 6 weeks ago strong? Yeah. Well, they're doing it again. Yeah, I know. Yeah, but how much am I supposed to take, Father? I mean, come on, it really hurts me to know that I shed my blood, Holy Spirit convicted them, they know better, and they're going to do it anyway. Look, if they're not for us, they're against us. I'm just telling you.
You see how foolish that sounds when you put it in God's mouth? It all sounded foolish in yours. You're made for His image. He didn't teach us that language. Life apart from Him did.
I'm trying to stop, and somehow I can't. I'm sorry. It's after midnight. To me, it's after midnight. It's just important, guys. If not, we're going to teach ourselves religion. We're going to learn how to do church without becoming her. And that would be sad. I don't think the devil's impressed when you all pile up front here and sing. He's impressed when you love not your own lives unto death and pursue the image of God. He's not threatened by worship services. He's seen thousands of them. He's seen people leave countless times and argue in the car and fight at home. He's not impressed with both hands raised. He's impressed when hearts surrender and word becomes flesh. He doesn't even come to take you out. He comes for the word's sake. Somehow we take the devil personal. He's coming for the kingdom. He could care less about you. He just does not want you ever believe in the kingdom. The devil's out to get me. No, he isn't. He wants to stop destiny, purpose, and potential, and he's afraid of the word. You're in a demon war against the kingdom of God. And if you take adversity personal, you're going to make a big mistake. You get to fight on behalf of the king. Stand your ground and live with integrity and character and honor. I mean it. It's just the truth. And it's not because you opened a door and because we always say, well, what door did I open? Well, how come the devil? What? Come on, the same storm to the wise and the foolish. It's not because the wise opened a door. It's because he was wise and the word came. Why'd the storm come? Because the word came. So the wise man, the storm had no power over because what was built stood. The storm wasn't trying to kill the occupant, it was trying to destroy the building. And we take adversity personal and make big mistakes. We let what we're going through decide how we're doing instead of what he went through decide how we're doing. We identify ourselves by our go-through instead of his. just true, guys. The foolish man, great was the fall. What was built never really got built, did it? Same storm, wise and foolish. Being wise didn't keep the wise man from the storm. Being wise kept everything built, established, and the storm had no power over it. Don't think if you're doing everything right, you'll never go through the storm. The goal is not going through the storm. The goal is standing in truth. And you won't even see the storm, because the truth already has you strong. That's powerful, guys. Let's not misunderstand. A lot of us are praying to avoid fire because we're afraid of it. We say, pray for me that I get a good report. I understand what we're saying, but at the same time, the report's what moves us. It's the number one prayer. Pray, I'm going for testing. Pray I get a good report. I know what we're saying, but the truth is the report moves us. And if you're not careful, you get moved by the report, and then all your prayer motive is fear and what they told you. And come on. Somebody's told they're going to die. You've got to be careful you don't become a dying man before you pray. You're in covenant. You don't pray because of the problem. You pray because you have promise. You have destiny. You have a legacy to write. You're not praying because of the fear of death. You're praying because of the promise of life. There's a difference. You're not praying because of sentiment and emotion and because family and all the stuff we pray. How many times have we prayed that stuff and they just go on and die and we get perplexed? I'm just talking straight, guy. Don't pray because of fear. You pray because of belief. We're going to pray for the sick, okay? I'm done. I'm going to pray something over you guys. No, I got to quit. I'm not done, but I got other sessions, so I'm just going to trust we'll get it all done this week. For some reason, my heart's raging right now. I feel like I just started. No, I don't want to scare you. I'm not going anymore. I'm done, but I feel like there's a lot to say. And it's not because you're doing wrong. It's because God believes you can handle it and become it, and He's calling you to it. You know, sometimes people get the idea of a preacher's preaching something, it's because we're doing that wrong in our lives. I wonder if He's just telling you who you are and reaffirming and keeping you strong. Why shouldn't be threatened by the message. We shouldn't say, oh, there must be a lot of trouble in this room. No, we don't want that mindset. I think there's a lot of potential in this room. And I think there's a lot of legacy to leave. I think there's a lot of impact to have. So if we talk and teach like this, maybe we'll walk in what we're created for. Maybe it's not because there's something wrong. Maybe it's to keep you from going there and believing it's okay. Maybe it protects you, right? You don't leave here and say, boy, I got a long way to go, brother. No, you leave here and say, man, that was encouraging. Light was just set on the trail. Life makes sense now. Man, I just got direction. I think I was ambling and now I'm directed. Wow. Yeah? Amen. Okay. I'm going to pray something over you. Open your heart, and all you want to do is want this, okay? You just want, yes, God, I want to become love. I want to receive grace in my life, precious promises to partake of your divine nature. I don't want to live a selfish man. Holy Spirit, expose that thing in my life every time and just make me more like you. You want that, right? See, because to become love, you have to want to be. And I've learned that in a room this size, there's a whole handful of people that really, when it comes down to it, don't want to become love. They've drawn lines. Well, if, and you're telling me that if somebody, and they have all these analogies, and there's hidden chips on men's shoulders. You have to say yes to become in love if grace is going to make you love. You have to say yes. You have to sincerely say yes. So if you're sincere, yes, I'm going to pray. I'm believing grace is going to touch your life. And even if you're not a yes, man, it's so good to preach this way because God plows ground and stirs hearts and makes good things out of folks. Amen? Amen? So, Father, I just pray grace over this house, over every person, and I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come in a special, intimate, personal way. And I thank you that every one of us can live what was preached tonight apart from any other factor in our life. There's not one thing in our lives that's greater than what you called us to and created us for. And I'm just asking you to turn our eyes to truth and turn our eyes to faith and let this room be strongly encouraged. And let no other factor be greater than what you called us to. And God, let the hunger in their hearts be enough to take them past the trials. Let the desire to become more like you and the honor we have for you be enough to take us through challenges. so much, Lord, that we wouldn't even see them as challenges anymore. And it's not because we're in denial. It's not because we're pressing down and pushing down and stuffing feelings. It's because we've been changed. And I'm asking of grace, Lord, to come in this room to change us in a special way. And let this night land on every other night that's ever been ministered and just add fuel to a holy fire. And let this night make a difference. Lord, I'm asking what was sown here to grow. I'm asking that it wouldn't be out in left field or on thorny ground or choked out by weeds. I'm asking, Lord God, that what was sown here would grow. That, Lord God, it would produce 30, 60, and 100-fold in our lives. And that You would reproduce Yourself again and again. I pray grace over this house, and I ask God for grace to walk in this truth. Most of all, to maintain a healthy, sincere desire to do that very thing. I pray against distraction. I pray, Lord God, that we wouldn't grow deceived or weary in well-doing. That You teach us to keep our hearts sharp and before You. And I thank You, Lord, for the stewardship, the grace of stewardship in this room tonight. That each person would take their own life responsible and into their own heart and own hand and be the steward of their life. God, fix our eyes single. No distraction. Man, I hear that twice. No distraction. God, let us keep our eyes on You. I bless this house and I pray for every person in this place, this grace to come upon them. Young and old alike. And no, it's not too late. See, I hear that thought in an elderly person. It's not too late. So you didn't hear this strong when you were younger or before. You heard it and didn't hear it and respond. You're hearing it now, friend. Let God be the redeemer of your day. And let God do more through this truth in your latter years. And let Him redeem the time. Don't you get analytical and say it's too late. I should have heard this 20 years ago. You're hearing it now, friend. Let the next couple of years matter more. And let God do more than maybe had been done all those years. He'd have just been growing it. God, I'm asking for that radical change. I'm telling you, I heard a heart say, that's great for most of these guys. It's just a little late for me now. It's never too late for you to walk in love. It's never too late for you to sow a seed. It's never too late for you to become what He paid for. So I'm telling you, there was somebody thinking that. You know who you were. I said it right when you were thinking. So God's saying, no, don't you go there and talk yourself out of what I'm saying to your heart. Father, thank You in Jesus' name. I'm not having an altar call. I just hear this, just little addictions, compulsions in people's lives in this room. I'm telling you, God's going to break them off of you tonight. And here's how He's telling me He's going to break them. When you leave here tonight, you say, Father, my life is more than whatever it is. You paid a high price for me and You love me and I thank You. My value is greater. And you start talking to God about how valuable you are to Him or He wouldn't have paid a high price. And in that, you're going to start making the tree good and the fruit's going to change. It's not always a deliverance thing, guys. It's a seeing the truth and continuing in it, and it makes you free. So, Father, I just thank You for a deliverance from little vices and little habits and addictions that have violated consciences. God, things that have caused people to second guess their own integrity and their own lives. And I thank You in the face of those things tonight, they have the faith and find the grace to look to You and thank You for Your love. And I thank You that Your love comes and brings change. And I thank You these little vices, they stop. In the authority of Jesus' name, I pray freedom over these people through a healthy identity. And I pray that no one would live with a veiled face. I pray that we'd be open-faced before You, God, and change. I'm telling you, there's a bunch of folks that's settling on right now. You leave here and be nothing but loved by God. You're not disappointing Him because He's not thinking for Himself. He loves you. So don't believe lies. You're not guilty, condemned, or ashamed because He forgives and He's promoting life. So come out from under that thing, stop wearing it, and say, you know what? My life is more than this. And I'm telling you, there's grace to change. In Jesus' name, I bless you. If you're in a marriage right now, and your marriage and your spouse is sitting right with you, and you heard this message for you, not for them, and you're saying, man, you know what? It does take two to tango, and I've been fueling fires, and I've been starting fires, and I haven't been thinking about being like Jesus. I'm telling you, the testimonies I'm getting from this little thing I'm doing right now in faith is mind-boggling. But if you'll reach down, if you'll find their hand, if you'll get their hand and squeeze their hand, and don't pull your hand away, spouse, and you just squeeze their hand, and when you squeeze their hand, what you're saying is, honey, I just want you to know I'm listening to this man, and not for you, I'm listening for me. Man, I haven't been pursuing the truth, and I haven't been pursuing to be like Jesus. And forgive me for everything less that I've been. And I want you to know I love you, I'm sorry, and I'm hearing this man. And I'm asking you for grace because I'm beginning to change. And I'll tell you the greatest thing you can do, spouse, is squeeze their hand back real gentle as if to say, no, ditto, honey, I'm hearing too. Not for you, I'm hearing for me. So I receive that and I ask you to forgive me as well. And I just want to call things new and I want to move forward in this truth. So thanks for releasing me and loving me and giving me. I'm telling you, if you'll do that right now and you'll squeeze each other's hands gently with that statement behind that squeeze without a word, there's a grace to restore, redeem, and make days brand new. I thank you, Father, right now with those hands squeezed. That's good. There's a handful of couples doing that. That's good. I thank you for total redemption in their home and their marriage. I thank you bring a new day. I thank you there is no more unresolved. I thank you yesterday, make it meaningless. It doesn't matter. It doesn't need discussed. God, a new day today. Repentant hearts. A release of one another. A release of themselves. A new day. I ask for restoration, redemption in homes and marriages. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Good. Okay. Let me move along here. We're not going to take terrible long with this because it's almost 12:30. So we'll do this though. There's a teaching here, okay? If you can stay, stay. If you can't, I understand. I preached a long time. I get it. But if you can stay, it's good. It won't be religious. It'll be fun. It'll be time for things to change, okay? And it's a training time. It empowers you. It gets you involved. I'm not lining you up here to pray for you. And at the end of this time, I don't want a bunch of people, please, running up asking me to pray for them for a bunch of stuff. That's what we're going to do in a minute. And whoever prays for you, I promise you, it'll be enough. Jesus is enough in this room. He paid a price to live in us, guys. Let's start letting Him do that. And let's start believing He'll move through me, He'll love through me, and He'll heal through me, okay? Okay, with healing, I think we've been way too complex. I think we've got ourselves overtaught. We've tried to teach through our lack of things, the unanswered prayers and the things that haven't happened. You guys with me? So when we pray for the sick, we tend to teach through what hasn't happened instead of teach through His life and His Word. Does that make sense? So you could take an average altar minister in a church and they're so taught through experiences that, oh wow, they're really negative. Wow, that sounds like fear. Wow, I don't know if they understand. And all of a sudden you might have three strikes against the person you go pray for in your teaching and three reasons why they might not get healed. But you pray anyway because it's what you're supposed to do because you're in the altar team. But you don't believe they're going to be healed because you're putting it all on them and what they're saying and thinking and feeling. But what I'm telling you is we have this great privilege of carrying the kingdom and ministering the kingdom here regardless of what anybody sees or knows. We've had people in the streets that say, well, I don't even believe in healing. And we're like, that's fine. Just let us pray. Just hold still. And they don't even believe and they're letting us know that. And it's just a fun thing. Sometimes we get beliefs like, well, if they're a Christian, it's harder because, and they're more accountable. And you start getting those beliefs. Let's just push all our experience away on what it's trying to teach us, and let's let Jesus teach us, okay? So here's what we're going to do tonight, real quick. There's two types of sickness. There's a lot of sickness on the earth, but there's two categories I put it in when I do this. Who's ever been out in public or at work and you heard somebody talking about a situation that comes and goes, something they've been struggling with? Or man, I hope that pain doesn't show up later today. Who's ever talked about, heard somebody talk like that? Migraine or whatever. Or man, when I get off my break and have to go back and sit on that chair, I hope that sciatic thing doesn't start. You know what I'm saying?
When you hear that, you have nothing to gauge healing on other than simple faith in your heart. True?
You have nothing you can test, check, or show. And the thing we need to know is, even if a body doesn't change, we got to stop turning it into a hit and miss. We got to stop saying, well, God either healed or He didn't.
We got to start learning to believe. We got to learn to lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. One of our biggest fears in praying for the sick is that nothing happens.
When I survey folks and say, why would you ever hesitate in praying for the sick? I'll find people that say it's new to them or they don't pray. Well, why? Well, my biggest fear is when I pray for the sick, nothing will happen. So they don't pray for the sick, so they always have their biggest fear. In some weird way, it's self-preservation. They don't want to face what they're fearing, so they don't pray for the sick, so they always have nothing. Do you get it? So come on, let's not make it about you and me. Let's just start praying for the sick. I heard a man I respect a long time ago say, I'm convinced of this. If we just start laying hands on the sick, the more people we pray for, the more things we'll see. Yeah? And the more things that we'll see happen. So here's what I want to do real quick. If you got a sickness in your body and you were healed tonight, there'd be no way to tell in the moment because it's a condition that's internal. It would need a test or you'd need time to tell. Are you following me? I just need you to get up real quick out of your chair. If you need healing in an area of your life, there'd be no way to physically test that thing. It would just have to, time would tell. A hard day of work, sitting longer than I made you sit, whatever. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Say you had a migraine and it comes once a week and it just didn't hit and it ain't there now, but it comes once a week. There'd be no way to know until a week goes by or 2 or 3 weeks. You see what I'm saying? You guys understanding? Stand up with me if you're in that category. Guys, we won't even have to get out of your chairs right now, and we're not going to ask them what's wrong. Listen, when we pray for you, I just want you to believe this, that He really does love me, or He'd have never sent His Son. And watch, this condition is no threat to His love. His love is a threat to this condition. We get it backwards. We say, well, yeah, but why? If God loved me, why am I going through this? And No. He loves you to address it, okay? His love's never challenged by your life. His love's established through the cross. Do you get it? So when you stand up for prayer tonight like this, the only thing I want you to do, I don't want you standing here putting on your... Come on, God. You just believe He loves you, and the proof of His love is His Son crucified, okay? So if you guys are sitting, you just can picture somebody, stretch towards somebody your hand. You don't have to get out of your chairs. You guys just stand. I'm going to pray corporately. They're all going to agree. We're all going to pray over you together. And then we're going to let you sit down. It won't be without results, I'm telling you. These things are going to change. You didn't stand up for nothing, I'm telling you. And you're going to see. And then I want you to tell people in the next day, 2, 3, whatever it takes for you to realize this really did change. I want you to tell some folks and testify what He did, okay? And then be encouraged to start ministering the same truth to others. So just receive His love and believe He loves you and thank Him personally. Say, wow, I thank You. You love me and You're making things new in my life. I believe it. And that's why You crucified Your Son. So, Father, we pray for wholeness all through this room. Healing come in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You these conditions never return. I thank You, Lord God, these symptoms never return. I thank You these people that took the faith and the time to stand experienced total change in this thing. And Lord God, I thank You right now. There's a clean sweep through this room of Your love and Your redemptive grace in Jesus' name. And God, I thank You for it. So be healed and be whole. Sickness, never come again. Dysfunction, no more. Symptoms, no way. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Okay, that's good stuff. I know it sounds simple to the unbeliever, but it's not simple. He paid a price. Grab your seats. We're going to do the last part. It's fun. This part's fun to me. So here's what I need you to do. If you're sick in your body tonight and you were healed, you would know it if you were healed because you could simply check your body. And here's what I don't want tonight. I don't want emotions. I don't want exaggeration. I don't want you to look at the big brown eyes of the young girl that prayed for you and think, oh man, I got to tell her I feel better. I don't want to let her down. I've been around us a while. I know the stuff we do. I can't have you doing that. That would be called lying. Okay? Yeah. So I need you to stand to your feet. If you're sick in this room, and if you were healed, there'd be some way for you to check. If you can't stand to your feet and want prayer, just go like this. We'll see. But stand to your feet if you can and you want prayer in this room. Please don't not stand if you need something, if you're less than whole. Don't like stay in your chair because you say, you know, I always stand and nothing ever happens. Please don't stay in your chair. Come on, guys, I'm giving you a little time. Don't make me go fishing. I'm actually a very good fisherman. I shouldn't have to go fishing. Just stand. Just be in faith. Just say, you know what? I'm going to believe God's love tonight. I'm just going to believe. Here's the thing. When we preach this, we don't preach faith as a point in time. You're never running the risk of not getting it. If you don't ever believe, you always run the risk of not believing. These signs follow those that... So if you were the enemy, what would you try to scramble in the body of Christ? What we believe. It's not rocket science. So here's the deal. Do I have everybody? No, I don't. I have a handful of people. I got like eight people. I got eight people that have specifically arthritis symptoms and pains that are still in their chairs. I'm telling you. It's eight of them. I need you to stand. Stand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Good. 6. I need you to stand. I think I need 2 more. Thank you. I think I need 1 more. You might have stood, but nope, thanks. Is that you? Did you just stand? Arthritis stuff or something? Is that you? Yeah, the guy in the t-shirt right there. You just looked over to her. Is that you? I'm just making sure I got my 8 because I know when I hear numbers. Now listen, if God didn't mean business and He wasn't ready to bring change, why would He give me that? Come on, if this is just the end of the service thing, why would He want to wait for you and not move forward until you got up if He wasn't meaning business?
Yeah.
Yeah? So do we have everybody? Or are you going to make me go fishing again? Don't make me go fishing. I'm really good fishing. I was in a service about 2 months ago, and I described a lady to a T in her kitchen. The things she did and the things she said, she just started bawling and stood up. Before we prayed for anybody, she was already healed. God just had so much mercy. She just wasn't standing. I don't know why it's hard for people sometimes. Okay, so I'm just believing we got everybody. Now here's what I need you to do. I'm going to come up here so you can see me and I can see everybody because I want to just help this along. Okay. Raise your hands real high if you stood up for prayer. Just one hand. Just one hand. It's only so we can locate you. Now listen, I want you to participate. The people that are sitting, I want you to be my prayer team, okay? Now I know we didn't have any formal training, but we'll have simple training in a second and it'll be powerful. But I need you guys that are sitting to help me. And if you're nervous and you say, this makes me uncomfortable, I want you on my team. Like the people that are nervous are the ones I want the most on my team because you won't rely on yourself. And there's a place for you to step through that nervousness. Let's be a Christian Nike commercial tonight and just do it. Okay? So keep your hands raised till they come and get you. Some of you that are in the middle and stuff, why don't you get out where they can reach you so people can get to you? Like if you're all stuffed in the middle, make your way out so we can get to you. Okay, keep your hand up. Only put your hand down when somebody claims you. Get up, have fun with it. Say, hey, you're mine tonight. Don't anybody pray yet. Just wait. We're going to do it together. Just go claim somebody till we got everybody accounted for. I got a whole bunch over here, guys. Why don't some of this army, I got a lot of army over here. Why don't some of you get over here? I got a lot of hands. Go claim somebody. Say, hey, you're mine tonight. You might want to have fun and say, I've never done this before. I'm going to pray for you. I got about 5, 6 hands over there. Can I have some people help me over there? Put your hand down if you get claimed. Put your hand down if you're claimed.
Come on, I got 1, 2, 3. I still see 2 guys there. I see somebody in the back. The guy in a white t-shirt. Put your hand up if nobody claimed you. Right there, you got him? Nobody got you yet? Yeah? Good. You got him?
Okay, guys, listen up. Let's do this. We'll do this together and it won't take long. It's going to be fun. You watch and see what happens in the next couple minutes here. I'm just telling you, it's going to be fun. First of all, thanks for standing up, guys, for prayer, and thanks for helping, guys, that were sitting.
Gee, I'm telling you, you have no idea. I won't cry. I could. Jesus likes this. What you guys are doing right now, Jesus is all about.
It's way more powerful than if we're lining everybody up and the guest speaker prays for all the sick.
I'm telling you, what I'm looking at in this room, Jesus likes this. He likes that you're getting involved because He paid for you to be involved. He paid to live inside of you.
Now here's the deal. I'm only giving you 6 seconds to pray. There's a reason. It's very simple. Watch. Your prayer never has and never will heal anybody.
It's not your prayer. It's what you believe about what He accomplished in His love for the person.
Watch. Be healed in Jesus' name is probably plenty if there's a revelation of His love and finished work. Here's what I'm convinced the Lord told me about a year ago to do every night I do this. I do this usually on the first night when I travel, and it's never religious to me. It's training. It's empowering. Watch. He showed me this about a year ago. He said, people are trying too hard. They're sincere, or they wouldn't try too hard. But they're trying to pray right, pray powerful, pray scriptural, and they get very self-conscious before they even open their mouth. And they're more thinking about what they're praying than God wanting to heal and make right through His Son. Does that make sense? So your prayer, this is actually good news. Your prayer never has and never will heal anybody. You ought to be like, phew, I don't got to produce anymore. I don't have to try so hard. I just need to be sincere and believe that the person I'm about to pray for, He absolutely loves with His life. And that He's making intercession for this person and His blood speaking better things. That because of what He accomplished through the cross, I can release faith and believe God to restore because of what He did and how He loves. You get to facilitate that, proclaim that, or believe that. So if they tell you, I have arthritic symptoms in my body, I got pains and stiffness in my body shutting down or slowing up in areas or immobile, and you just say, arthritis, you leave. Every trace, every symptom, every pain, you go now in Jesus' name. Who knows you can do that in 6 seconds? Who knows if you believe you can say to the mountain in 6 seconds? They say, well, I'm bone on bone in my knees. My knees grind when I walk and they hurt so bad. I'm a little afraid of surgery and anesthesia, so I've been putting up with it. But man, my knees hurt. They're bone on bone. Knees, you be whole. Cartilage, be restored. No more pain. Jesus. Who knows you can do that in 6 seconds and be sincere? Who knows you can take the pressure off of you because you can't build the cartilage? So there's no technique in saying it right to get the cartilage to cooperate. It's the Lord. And you're believing that He's just that amazing and He's just that good and He's just that real. Yeah? Who knows we can do this? Because He already did it on that cross. Yeah? So we get to participate in something awesome. Now here's the cool thing. The cynical would say this is a cop-out. It's not a cop-out. It's something we're growing in. Faith's not a point in time. It's not a hit, miss, win, or lose. You're not threatened by standing up. It's not anymore. We got to throw this out the church door. We'll wonder if it doesn't happen. We'll wonder if God doesn't heal. It's never, I don't know why He did, why He didn't. Faith believes. Faith's the position of your heart. You're laying hands on the sick and the sick are recovering. There's times in these sessions, we're going to see tonight people healed instantly. We're probably going to see some people that feel somewhat better, noticeably better, but not all the way. There might be a few people that say nothing changed. Let's not be afraid of that. Let's be afraid of not believing and not releasing the kingdom. Here's the deal. We'll take a second time. I'll teach just a couple things. We'll pray 6 more seconds. Some of those people that felt somewhat changed will be all the way changed. And some of those people that felt nothing change will change. It might be possible, I've seen this, where we'll leave and there'll be a handful of people that nothing changed. And some people will still say, well, it's somewhat changed. Who knows, that's not defeat. What defeat is if you never release faith and never believe in the kingdom. That's already defeat. The children of Israel were greater than the Philistines because of their covenant. They already could beat Goliath, but because they didn't face him, they lost by default. He beat them for 40 days because they didn't face him. And it wasn't until a little boy named David said, what are you guys doing? He's already dead meat. He has no covenant. Yeah? But because they didn't step out and face and believe, they lost by default for all those days. Let's not do that anymore, guys. Let's get involved. Let's pray, believe, and receive. Amen? Okay, so here's what you're going to do. It's really good and it's really fun. Take just 3 seconds and ask them why they stood and what you're believing for, and then look back up here. Don't pray yet. 3 seconds. Give them the 3-second version. Not when I was two. And just 3-second version. Just torn rotator cuff, arthritis, cancer. I can't see out of my left eye, whatever. You got it? We good? 3 seconds, you should have it. Okay? All right, look up here. We're doing this together as a family. Do you notice I didn't bring this amazing worship team up front? You don't always have the worship team with you, right? So sometimes you feel uncomfortable even. Sometimes you're in a parking lot. Sometimes you're at a gas pump and you just get moved. And you need to learn how to believe, period. This isn't a hype thing. We're not stirring up. Tonight's not even about setting an atmosphere. The atmosphere is in you. It's called the kingdom. Okay, so you guys ready? You know what you're praying for? I'm going to give you 6 seconds. I'll stop you when I say, okay, wrap it up. That just means acknowledge God's love for him. And I mean this. I'll give you an example. As soon as you pray, arthritis you live, every pain you go, mobility be restored. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for your great love. I just always acknowledge God's love. Faith works through love. If you're being prayed for, that's all I want you to do is relax and believe he loves you through his son. Yay. 6 seconds, wind down your prayer, and then I want you to legitimately check your bodies. As soon as you know it's changed and that you're healed, I want you to make sure you go like this. I'm going to call on just a few. I'm going to get you to find out, and don't be ashamed of that. Be excited about that. If you're sincerely changed, don't snap it. Don't just go, oh, I'm healed. Make sure. Check that thing out. If you had pain, try to find it. When you can't, let me know. Okay? I'm saying, don't be quick. I want you to be thorough. I don't want exaggeration in the room. And we're going to call on a couple people. Now, here's the deal. If your body doesn't change, don't panic and don't say, see, I just know I'm doing something wrong. I never get healed. Something's blocking my healing. Don't stop that. Okay? I'm telling you, I've been around this thing. Stop that and listen to a few testimonies. As you hear the testimonies, humble your heart, be thankful, and thank God he's a healer, and thank God that he's doing a work in you, and then recheck your body. We could see it like popcorn in here, where things that didn't change just start changing because we won't let go. We teach back home our people to not let go. I'm here to teach you, don't ever let go. Are you all ready? You didn't forget what you're praying for, right? Okay, I'm a teacher, man. I want to empower you. Okay, you ready? Look at them real quick, make them a little uncomfortable, and just know that they're precious, and Jesus paid his blood for them, okay? All right, ready? You got 6 seconds, sincere. Go ahead, pray. Jesus' name. Oh, that's so good. Listen to that. Okay, guys, wrap it up. Wind it down in Jesus' name. Father, because you love them. Now you receive his love. You just thank God he loves you. Wrap it up. We're done praying. Start checking your bodies all over this room. No exaggeration. Soon as you know you're healed, I need you to go like this when you're healed. Check your bodies. Go like this. Make sure you wave so I can see you because it's dark out there. Okay, good, good, good. Yeah? For sure? For sure? Who else? Wave your hands. For sure? Yeah? Yeah? Good? Who else? How about over here? We're praying for a lot. Check yourselves over here. Come on. Check your bodies. Anybody over here, you know your body's changed? See, because some people get funny. They're like, well, see, you got to get over to this portal. God's moving in this side of the room. No, God, you changed? Good. Anybody else over here? Check your bodies. For sure? Good. Check your bodies. Anybody else? You know. I want you to take your time. That's good. Okay. Hang on now. Guys, stop talking for a second. Let's do this. Stop. Stop. Just for a second. I'm not being mean. I just want to get your attention because it's late and I want to do this. If your body changed for sure and you know you're healed, all at once, I want you to all raise your hands so we see who you are and go like this so we see who you are. Keep them up there. Don't anybody else raise your hand. Sir, right there with both hands. Let's get quiet. Can you holler out? What happened to you? What happened? Now, wait a minute. You had gout. You couldn't close your hands. How far could you go? Just like, you could only go like that. So the swelling, the protrusion and everything went away. Look, he's gone again. He had gout. He was swelled up. He couldn't close his hands. His knuckles were sticking out and everything receded. And you got total, complete normal. Okay, stretch your hands to this man, guys. Father, we thank you. Gout will never return in his life. God, I thank you. This isn't an ongoing thing. I thank you. It's nothing that can ever, ever, ever come back. Gout, you never, ever touch him again. In the authority of Jesus' name, be whole and remain whole. And be a shining light and a testimony of God's great love. In Jesus' name. Amen? That's awesome. If you didn't feel change, every time somebody testifies, check it again. If you didn't feel change, just check it and stay thankful. Who wants to tell me what happened? Somebody that's healed, you want to share it? Yeah? Honey in the blue, go ahead. You called her? She called her mom on the phone, said, hey, we're praying for the sick. She said, my mom got healed. What happened? How she knows she healed? Pain and arthritis in her knee, obvious, huh?
She had arthritis in her knees, a lot of pain, and she said it had been hurting today. And I called her, and she said she felt something and the pain left.
And it's gone.
It's gone.
Good. Who else in the room? Somebody want to tell me. What, honey, right here on the front. What was that, like a tendonitis thing? What was it? Okay, just from work and just that ongoing.
It was hurting right now. It doesn't.
So it was hurting when they prayed.
It was hurting when you were asking if anybody had arthritis pain, and then it doesn't hurt anymore.
Gone.
It's gone.
You were in your chair when I asked people to stand?
Yeah.
So you were one of my eight?
Yeah, because okay. I had stood already, but then I...
No, that's good. You stood.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Anybody else you want to share? There was a lot of hands. If God did something and you want to tell us. Yeah. Go ahead, man. Yeah.
So I do jiu-jitsu, and I don't know, like 4 or 5 weeks ago, I tore my MCL.
You tore your ACL?
MCL.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
The inner band.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. Every day I've been practicing, like trying to do this with the other side that's tore. And I can't hold it up at all.
Right, there's things that you weren't able to do because it would strain and stuff.
Yeah. So more than the healing, I just wanted to believe that the Lord loved me no matter what, you know? And so, like, he's like, check it out. And I was like, okay, well, look. And this is the one that's tore. And I was like, what the heck?
You're doing it?
Yeah, that's the one that's tore. I couldn't hold it up for more than a second.
That's awesome.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah. That's good. Man, you guys getting this? Come on, this is awesome. Okay, let me ask you this question. Let's do one more. Somebody want to do one more? Yeah, honey, let's do it. Yeah.
Well, first of all, I didn't want to stand up because my hands, well, they always hurt. And then when you said that, I was I'm like, I have to stand up. And they don't hurt.
You were one of my eight?
Yes. And another...
Who else of my eight knows you're healed? raise your hand if you were part of my eight and you know you're healed. One, two, three, you, four, five. So is there three that didn't feel change or what? Is there three that stood up in the back? Did you stand up? Were you one of my eight? Did you not feel change yet? Somewhat. Okay, yeah, we're getting to that. Is there somebody else? Who's my other two? What's your situation? Is it arthritic, though? Did you stand up when I said the arthritic thing? Okay, yeah, okay. Okay. Have you felt any change yet, or is it the same? Okay. And who else? Same? Didn't change yet. A little bit, okay. Share your testimony, okay. Oh, okay. So we got nine. Okay, so something's going on as you're standing there. And we're getting to that in a second. Actually, she stood up and wasn't directly afraid. It was injury, stuff like that. So I got my eight. You share quick. We're going to be patient with me. I know this seems a little long right now, but this is good and it's going to teach us something. And you're going to really enjoy this, okay? So trust me, just hang in there. Go ahead.
I've had cancer twice and God's healed me from cancer, but I've always had just this pain and it's completely gone.
Completely gone. Was it 24/7? 24/7. How long? It's all good.
5 years.
5 years. Wait a minute. Is that why you're crying? It's hitting you, right? Watch this, guys. This isn't just, well, my pain left. Watch. 5 years, 24/7, it's always there. And now she's crying because she's realizing, wait a minute, it's not there. We're not jamming her favorite song. We didn't hype her. We just touched her for 6 seconds of sincere faith. And Jesus took it. 5 years, 24/7. See, that's why she's crying, because that's her reality now. So don't ever take this stuff lightly and think, oh, wow, okay, stomach pain. 5 years, 24/7, gone. That's not an accident, guy. That's not hype. That's not mind over matter. Cut me a break. If it was mind over matter, we'd all be better. Because we want to be. It's just the craziest thing I've ever heard. That's good, huh? Father, we just thank you for wholeness. We thank you for what you're doing in her. There's been like a health thing, cancer, a couple times come to your life. Can I just do something? I want to pray something. Believe with me, church. Father, I thank you she's not a target. Don't you even think you're a target. Don't you even think you're a target. No, don't you even think you're next in line for nothing but His love and the victory that He paid for. I'm telling you, you're not a target. Don't you look over your shoulder. You look up from whence comes your help. I declare over you wholeness and even a protection and just a covenant. Man, I see like this covenant hedge in your belief, in your sincere believing that, you know what, I am not a target except for His love, His grace, His mercy, and His goodness. Sickness shall not touch you. You shall remain whole and be well. In fact, this faith is rising even now in your heart to believe for people and see the glory of God. In fact, I feel like you've always had that in you, and you always felt like your desire to see has the things you've seen have not seen. I mean, have always surpassed your desire to see. And I feel like God's going to let your eyes see what your heart's desired. And I feel like this desire to see people restored and made whole is going to rise up and burn in your heart. And you're going to get involved, and you're going to stretch forth your hand, and God is going to move. Even as your pains left from your stomach tonight, you will see things leave people's lives. And I feel like I hear God say, I'm going to put you on a roll, and you're going to get confident, you're going to get bold, and you're going to see my glory before you. And even the way you saw it leave you, you'll see things leave others, and you're going to do it again and again and again. And I just see you having a very big heart to see the deliverance of people. So I bless you with that. You're a woman of health. You're a woman of God. In Jesus' name. Oh, that's amazing. Good. Wow. That's awesome. Because I just heard all that in my heart. And you are not a target.
You're a woman of God. Pastor Joseph that leads this, I'm his assistant, and just running hard all the time wears on me, and I know that I was like, God's called me to do this, and my body was just, I was like, nope. And so this, I just feel like it's freeing me up and to go.
You're gonna walk in a grace. There's a freedom. You're not a target. You're going to run well. I see health over you. Empowerment. I see this thing burning in you. Amen. Yeah.
Can you tell them real quick about the deliverance that you do with the women locally? Can you tell them that?
Oh. And I also go to strip clubs and minister to the girls there.
Yeah.
For deliverance. And
there you go. I'm telling you, what you saw tonight with this, you're going to see again and again and again with your own eyes through your life. Again and again and again. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Real quick, stay patient with me. I know it's late for you guys, but it's way later for me, so have mercy. Who felt somewhat changed? You just didn't raise your hand because it's not all the way, but you know it got better or it changed. Go like this. Let me see how many you are. There's a bunch of you. Let me see you. Is your person still here? Is your person still here, or did they leave? If your person's still here, grab them. Are they still nearby? Raise your hand so they can see you. Look around, guys. If that's your person, look around. Go grab them again. I want you to pray 6 more seconds. Do not change your prayer. Say, pray the same way you prayed the first time. Okay? Can somebody, is her person there? Go for it. Just pray. Thank God for the increase, but thank God He's a finished work. There's a man back there. Are you needing prayer? Fine. Who was with that gentleman back there? Somebody go get with him. Go get with him. The man back there with his hand up. Yay. 6 seconds. That's all I want. Just pray right now. Father, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you. You're a finished work. Complete wholeness. Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Come on, that's long enough. Thank God. Now let's do this. Let's do this. Check your bodies real quick. There's probably 18 of you or so. I didn't count. Check your bodies. Be patient. Check your bodies. And if it changed that time or got completely better, I need you to go like this. Are you listening? I know you all having fun talking. Check your bodies. Who went from better to whole? Yeah? Yeah? Good? Who else? Your body changed that time and it got even better. Yeah? Good. Good. Anybody else? No, that's awesome. Look what God's teaching us. Don't let go of what you believe. Keep believing. If you pound something and it doesn't move all the way, pound it again. Believe the same thing. Bam, bam, bam. Better plus better plus better, sooner or later, is wholeness. Now, I think we have time for this. It's the last thing I want to do. Who's still in the room? You're still paying attention. You're still here. And nothing changed since the first time we prayed. It's still the same. Let me see your hand. Don't be ashamed. Don't think heavy on it. I need you to be honest. You're still the same. It didn't change. Okay? Don't feel funny about that. It's amazing how we've taught ourselves to think like we're like the egg out of the basket or something. Listen, don't let it change faith. Don't let it change truth. Don't let it speak. Let Jesus' life speak. Faith is not a point in time. Let me see your hands real quick. Nothing changed yet. Is your person still here? I want to do one more 6-second thing. That's all I want to do. And then we'll close with prayer. Touch your person if their hand's up. Don't get somebody else to pray. Don't say, hey, I'm going over there because they got healed. You pray. 6 more seconds. Come on. 6 seconds. Please. Let's do this. Pray for them. Jesus' name. Be whole. Just stay with us, guys. I know it's taking a while, but it's just good. All right, receive His love. Believe He loves you. Don't strive. Okay. Out of those dozen people that raised their hand, there was at least a dozen of you, I guess. I want you to check your bodies. Check your bodies. Go ahead. Stop talking for a minute. Check your bodies. Pay attention so we can do this as a group. Is there anybody in this group? Check your bodies. That nothing changed, but that time it did. Check your body. Nothing changed, but that time it did. Go like that so I can see you. Did yours change? No? Yeah? No, that time? Okay, I got one. Do I have anybody else that I'm missing? That time something changed. Let me see you. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay, good. What's that teaching us, guys? Never grow weary in well-doing. Never believe. Faith's not a point in time. Come on, we got to drill this down and get it. So what's your response when you leave here tonight? Thank you, God, for what you're doing in me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for changing things. Even if it didn't change, same faith. You guys got that? All right? Let's keep living this way. Let's keep believing this way and keep seeing God move this way. Does anybody need to close out or hey, Chris, anybody need to close? Love you guys. I'm done. Yeah.